Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, December 5th, and I would like to call the Finance Committee meeting to order. And I'll start by acknowledging that we are in Mi'kma'ki, the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people, and we are very lucky to live, work, and play here. Are there any announcements, acknowledgments, or recognitions? Councillor DeLong?
Thank you. I'd like to acknowledge the hard work of the Ecology Action Center in the facility at Kelp Curious in District 8. I went to a workshop there this week, learning all about kelp farming and how it can be commercialized and the benefits of kelp. It was very interesting.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any other acknowledgments or announcements? I will pass it over to Mayor Bolivar Getson.
So I have an acknowledgement or day of remembrance and declaration on gender-based violence. I'd like to take a moment to recognize that December 6th is the day of remembrance and action on violence against women, and to make a declaration that acknowledges gender-based violence as an epidemic we are committed to ending. We continue to recognize December 6th across Canada, 32 years after the mass killing of 14 young women in 1989 at École Polytechnique in Montreal. But Nova Scotia is now home to the largest mass casualty in Canadian history. And in their report, Turning the Tide Together, the Mass Casualty Inquiry identified gender-based violence as one of the key contexts in the deaths of 22 people and one of the three pillars demanding concerted action by all levels of government and a whole-of-society approach. This day is about acknowledging and remembering these young women and all women and girls who died as a result of gender-based violence. We have an opportunity for all of us to acknowledge and not ignore that women and girls in the municipality of the District of Lunenburg and across the world face violence as part of their everyday lives. No community is immune to the challenges posed by gender-based violence. By recognizing the prevalence of such violence, we open a gateway for empathy, understanding, and advocacy. The Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women and declaring gender-based violence an epidemic is a call to action for everyone. It prompts us to confront the harsh reality that women and girls face violence as part of their daily lives. This is an opportunity for communities, organizations, and individuals to unite in a collective effort to raise awareness, challenge societal norms that perpetuate violence, and work towards creating safer environments for women and girls. December 6th is not just a day of remembrance. It's a catalyst for change, urging us all to take meaningful action and end violence against women. Through education, open dialogue, and policy changes, we can foster a culture that rejects violence and empowers individuals to speak out against it. Some of the actionable steps we can take in our everyday lives to help prevent gender-based violence include: become informed about gender-based violence and what steps we can all take to prevent it by reviewing Volume 3 of the Mass Casualty Commission report, Turning the Tide Together. Learn about how to be an ally to people working in the gender-based violence advocacy and support sector. Challenge the condoning of violence against women in our workplaces and social settings. Challenge the gender stereotyping and traditional forms of masculinity. Strengthen the positive, equal, and respectful relationships between all people in our homes, communities, workplaces, and other settings. Become a champion for broader prevention efforts. We must renew our commitment to creating a world where every woman and girl can live free from the fear of violence, where their contributions are valued, and where they have equal opportunities to thrive.
Okay, thank you very much. It is now time for public input. Are there any members of the public here for public input? Okay. Seeing none, I would like to have a motion to approve the agenda as submitted. Moved by Councillor Wynot, seconded by Councillor Vino. All those in favor? Contrary-minded, none. So that is passed unanimously. Okay, the approval of the minutes from November 21st as circulated. Can I have a motion to approve? Moved by Councillor Moore, Seconded by Mayor Bolivar-Getson. All those in favor? And that is passed unanimously. Is there any business arising from the minutes? No presentations or consideration of correspondence or recommendations from council, so we are going to move down to staff reports from the Finance Department, Section 10.1.1, decision on tax sale by tender for the March 6th, 2024 tax sale, and I'll pass it over to our Director of Finance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So as the committee is aware, our annual tax sale is scheduled for March the 6th, 2024. Prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, all of our tax sales were held by public auction per Section 141(1) of the Municipal Government Act. For the past 3 years, Council has approved that the Treasurer proceed with the annual tax sale through a tender call per Section 141(2) of the MGA. The use of the tender call was successful. Most properties that went into these tax sales received bids and were sold. The municipality's annual tax sale public auction has been historically well attended, with upwards of 90 people present. That many people in the space, it can be cumbersome to manage. We get security from the RCMP. It certainly doesn't lend itself to be fully accessible to bidders who cannot attend in person on that day. Because we've been successful with the tax sale tender process over the past 3 years, staff are suggesting that the upcoming tax sale in March 2024 proceed in this manner. There are some alternatives the committee could consider. We could go back to a tax sale by public auction, or Council also has the authority under the MGA to defer tax sales for up to 2 years. That is not our current practice. It could create collection problems where property owners could defer payments even longer. It would be administratively a little bit more to handle. And, of course, it costs more every time you advertise or do title searches and things like that in a tax sale. So staff do make collection calls and payment arrangements to reduce the number of properties that are in the tax sale. So deferring the tax sale would mean additional resources would be required to manage any subsequent sales afterwards. There'd be only budget implications would be just additional costs, like I said, if a deferral was done. So based on our experience with the tender process, staff are recommending that we go through a tax sale via tender process again this year.
Okay, thank you very much. I know that at a previous finance meeting, we had decided to revisit this each year. So are there any comments from anyone or questions? Councillor Vino?
Thank you. When this was brought forward last year, I supported going through this process, but briefly after that, I did hear from some residents that felt it put them at an unfair advantage for out-of-province bidders to bid on property. So I will be taking that into consideration with my vote today. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else with a comment? Mayor Bolivar-Getson.
I guess could you clarify exactly, I guess I'm looking through you to the chair, what you mean by the unfair advantage?
What I heard is that by having to attend in person, it's more likely that people from the province, from the county, from the district would be there to bid. Whereas with the tender process, people from out of province, out of country, could bid, is the feedback that I heard. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Go ahead.
I guess the purpose of the tax sale is to collect arrears that is owing, and the remainder of the money goes back to the property owner. Is that correct?
Any surplus collected would go back to the property owner, but they would have to make application through the Supreme Court of Nova Scotia in order to get those funds returned to them.
Yes, so that it actually helps that local resident get the best price for their property is the way I look at that.
Okay, are there any other comments? I do have a comment on this. I actually support an in-person tax auction. I think that what we saw in the past during COVID was that we had people who were able to way outbid local residents who may have really benefited from being able to purchase those properties locally. And I have had feedback from a number of residents who say they prefer to have the in-person bidding. It gives people a chance to, in real time sort of understand how far they need to bid in order to purchase a property. So I can't support a motion to continue a tax sale by tender. If there's any other comments? Okay. I would ask Councillor Hubley if she'd be willing to make that motion.
Yes, thank you. To the Chair and members of Finance Committee, I move that the Finance Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council authorize the Treasurer to proceed with a tender call for the March 6, 2024 tax sale, and I so move.
Okay, is there a seconder? Mayor Bolivar gets in seconds. Any further comments on the motion? Okay.
Question.
All those in favor? Contrary-minded? Okay, contrary-minded is Councillor Vino, Councillor DeLong, Councillor Statton, and myself. And that motion is passed. Okay. All right, moving on to under staff reports, the Recreation Department, Section 10.2.1, New Germany Legion Capital Grant Request. Okay. Are we ready for that presentation?
Scheduled for 9:15.
Do you, if you're ready, we can go ahead if you want a few more minutes. Okay, while we, are you ready? Oh, okay, there we go. Wonderful. Okay, go ahead. All right, do you just want to turn your mic on there? Oh, he doesn't have it. Okay.
Sorry.
There
okay.
We go.
There we go. Okay, sorry. I'm Clive Gibson. I represent the New Germany Legion, and we're here today to make a presentation to try and get some special funding for some alterations that we need to our building. If you could advance to the next slide, please. Okay, so our main purpose as a Legion is to serve the veterans, both military and RCMP, and their families in our catchment area. We've been doing this since the mid-50s and serve not only New Germany but the entire surrounding area. We're built essentially to meet the needs of veterans, but obviously with a declining veteran population, we've been adapting to meet the needs of the community as a whole. Both the building and the grounds that we occupy is the largest public venue in the New Germany area. And to find a larger venue, we have to come to Bridgewater. There's no choice. Both the building and the grounds are essential to maintaining New Germany and its vibrancy. Okay? It's essential to our Canada Day celebrations and a myriad of other celebrations and activities in the area. If you could advance, please. As I said, our actual veteran numbers are declining. The building is also aging. It was built in 4 stages over the years. Upgrades are needed to meet not just safety, but also regulations and code changes that have been occurring over the years. With fewer veterans, the understanding of what the Legion actually is and represents is diminishing greatly, along with well, membership is actually growing at the moment, but it took a huge plunge, and we've got a long way to come back before we're strong again. Without creative solutions, we're at risk of closure. It's as simple as that. We're teetering on the line of financial resiliency, and with that loss would come an extremely large loss for the community. Okay, could we move on, please? Okay. Massive efforts are being made to replace the revenues that membership and membership participation in activities we're bringing in. We're running as many special events as we could physically do with the limited human resources that we have. Dances, live music nights, trivia nights, karaoke nights, anything we can do to try and get people in the building and increase participation, membership, sales, anything to bring in revenue. We actually ran our first darts tournament since 2015 on the weekend. Huge success. These events not only help with the revenues, but it's also helping us to make people understand the importance and the usefulness of our grounds and building. We're also making efforts to access as many grants as we can, hence our attendance here. We're expanding the use of the facility, trying to open as much to the public as we can within our guidelines and regulations as a Legion. There's a plan on the table, some of you may know about it, about turning it into a warming center for any cases where it might be needed. It was used most recently as a drop-off for donations for the IWK fund, and we've pivoted this week to now attack the local New Germany community with a fund to help the needy at Christmas, collecting grants and providing storage facilities for the toys, whatever we can do to help. Massive efforts have been made to host a very significant Remembrance Day event that's been done every year, even during the pandemic. There's an educational component to it to try and keep people aware of the sacrifices made. It's also funding our scholarship program, which allows us to fund local students every year. Efforts are also being undertaken to help ensure the closure of our Legion does not occur. It is an aging building, and we are aware of the fact that a capital fund is required. So everything we're doing is sort of geared towards trying to put aside a little bit of everything we make to keep building that capital fund. As you can do all you want to maintain it day to day, but if the roof goes and it's no longer serviceable and you don't have $20,000 to $30,000, you're done. So we're cognizant of that. We're working on that and trying to build the bank balance to represent that. One of the major efforts to stabilize that revenue source has been to make an arrangement with a local restaurant to use our kitchen facilities. They lease it from us. It's a month to month. And unfortunately, this is in jeopardy because of us being made aware of some regulations code with respect to the use of deep fryers, which is why we're here today. You'll see, you can just pass through quite quickly on these. There are a series of photos of the different activities you see. You'll see we're teaming with the ATV group. We're teaming with the Remembrance Day, the schools. We held prom there. We held graduation there during the pandemic. Every effort's made to team with anybody in the community that will work with us. Let's get through here. The financial support to upgrade the kitchen, specifically acquiring and installing what's called an NFA 96 compliant commercial cooking hood and ventilation system equipped with fire suppression. Basically, it's a fancy range hood, but it's a fancy range hood required by code in order to operate the deep fryers and grills. The upgrade will allow us to keep that tenant in place and maintain our revenue stream. Estimated costs for new with warranty is in the range of $20,000 to $30,000. We're investigating other possibilities, but it's an expensive deal, but it's a required deal. It's not something we don't. It's not that we want to do this. We have to do this. Without it, we're losing, in all probability, Sizzle Stick. Their food's great, but they can't do the deep-fried stuff. And unfortunately, for better or for worse, there's a large percentage of the population that's what they want. And we'd love to be holier than thou and say, well, we'll contribute to the good health of our community and not do this. But all that's going to happen is we're going to lose a tenant and they're going to buy somewhere else. So we're seeking funding sources here, National Provincial Legion Command, provincial government, anything we can get, we're exploring to try and do this. You'll see here, I mean, the typical commercial kitchen, that's what we're asking for. We're asking to be able to meet those needs because by code that's what we need. We need the hood, the fire suppression system, the charged I'm missing the technical term, but the charged unit that will automatically go or can be manually set off. It has to be both. Okay? You'll see the next picture. That's a picture of what we currently have, a long way from it, and they've actually turned the grill into a table. As you can see, all of that grill top is being used for nothing other than having other equipment sit on it so it's closer to them because they just can't even use it. Our ask specifically, hey, is to, since we're in the 20 to 30,000 range, we're going to go all out and ask for the full 50% that we're eligible for, 15,000 if we can get it. We're cognizant of the fact that we're outside of budgetary norms here, that funding's been awarded. This is going to be a special project, and we're grateful for anything we can get. But the more we can get, the better our chances of being able to patch that up with other pieces from other places, other organizations, in order to be able to get this built or bought and installed in the shortest possible delay. We're making arrangements, we're discussing arrangements with the tenant to try and come to an arrangement in the short term, short to medium term, because this is not going to happen. I mean, we're also realistic on timelines. I mean, it's going to take time for you to decide. Then we've got to find other sources to make up the shortfall. And on top of that, we need to then buy and have installed. So, I mean, we're looking at late spring, early summer. But we've got to try and help Sizzle Stick stay on at least that long. This is a long-term project for us. It's hey, anything to add? Okay. So, if anybody has any questions, we'll be happy to take them.
Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation. Questions, Mayor Bellaver-Getson.
Thank you for your presentation, and I guess Branch 102 has definitely been thinking outside the box in order to keep the doors open in New Germany. And looking at the events that were held here since COVID, I do recognize how you did step up as a community facility. I'm just thinking about the graduations and the proms when the schools were closed and some of the other events. Yeah. But looking at the proposal for the hood in particular, I guess in order to rent this space, this is a necessity for you to have based on, and I guess I'm familiar with the system and understand that in order to have fryers, you need to do that. And even breakfast, that is a fat-laden product, probably would need
anything involving deep fryer and grill. We now require this. I mean, the building's been there. Many of you have probably been to the breakfasts, the suppers, et cetera.
Yeah.
Were we operating outside of code, or was the code not there at that time? I mean, honestly, I can't answer that. I am aware that the building inspector has been in, the health inspector has been in. We've been made aware of the current code. and had to change accordingly. And Sizzle Stick is precarious because his revenues dropped significantly with the change in food types.
But regardless on the vendor, it still needs to happen in order to have that fundraising that would allow you to do this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, whether it's for the Sizzle Stick or whether it's for a future tenant or whether it's for us to run breakfasts and suppers,
yes,
or whether it doesn't make any difference. Those deep fryers and grills are completely off limits until such time as we make the changes.
And I guess I see quite often the fish and chip fundraisers and different things that would require.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other comments? Councillor Moore.
Thank you, Clive. To imagine the Legion not being there anymore is unacceptable. The Legion has been there from the early 50s and wasn't even started in that building. It was started over by the old fire hall, okay, is what I'm told, by past Councillor Linwood Feindel. Yep. Veterans these days are not the type of the veterans. How am I going to word this? The veterans that supported that Legion all over the years have gone. They've passed away. It used to be that Legion was popping every day of the week, yeah, at the bar downstairs with all the veterans playing cards and doing the camaraderie, and that's all gone. And now, thank goodness, there's thinking outside the box to try to keep this building going and try to get people to come in and participate in all the things that they're offering. I remember driving my dad there quite a bit because he was a veteran. I remember driving him there. Well, sometimes I would just drive him home. So I probably should not be speaking on this because of July 1st, Carolyn will give me the evil eye, but I can't imagine New Germany without July 1st. If we do not have those grounds, that building, that ball field for fireworks, there will never be a July 1st New Germany again. And we have worked way too hard not to have it. Thank you.
Councillor Hubley.
I have a little bit of background in fast food.
Okay.
Have you looked into the secondhand restaurant supplies? Sometimes if the restaurant's closing or something like that, because you can still get decent equipment that will last forever.
We are exploring that. There's a couple of places in Halifax that we are exploring. Sizzle Sticks actually used it to very quickly acquire different equipment to allow it to continue to operate. So we are aware and working with Sizzle Stick on that. There are limitations for this type of equipment, particularly with respect to warranty and what would be involved in the costs of maintaining that equipment to continue to meet code and the regulations. So we're walking that line. We're trying, in the same way we're walking the line with respect to how we can use it publicly, with the restrictions placed on us by the fact that we are a Legion, and a Legion building. So we have to meet both the Legion expectations as well as trying to meet the public requirements and demands or hopes to make it more public. We're doing everything we can to walk that line and keep it open. We are well aware, as Kathy underlined, of the importance of this building and the grounds to the continued well-being of the community.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Councillor Moore.
I also forgot to mention what the not just the building, but the grounds itself is used for ATV parking during rallies. It's like accessible to the trail. There is a parking pad there that a lot of people in the area and organizations, and I'm pretty sure we put in a little bit of money to make that parking pad there. And to not have that there, if the Legion was to close and it was sold privately for whatever reason, I don't know where the ATVs would even park to even access the trail. when well, they go
home. They would lose that potential destination or starting point, and sometimes both.
Yeah, and the starting point is good because you get a lot of people coming for breakfast and meals and stuff when they're going on their runs.
Last time we managed both.
Yeah.
Last time, the last rally we had about a month ago, we got they started and finished with us, and Sizzle Stick managed to get breakfast and supper out of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, we did partner with them. That was one of the partnerships in the community that we did. We was to partner with the ATV Association. They put a lot of manpower and material into upgrading that parking lot. It's the back end of the parking lot that we don't use very much, quite frankly, except for extremely large events. But again, essential to the Canada Day. They would lose without those upgrades. Quite frankly, the Oxbow was becoming dangerous where it was situated until the ATV Association stepped up and upgraded that particular part of the parking lot. So, as I've said, we are trying to partner with anybody and everybody in the community, community associations, schools, anybody that we can work with to try and make it a multi-use community facility.
Okay. Okay, are there any further questions or comments? Did you have something that you wanted to add to the presentation? Sorry, you'd have to come up. Is this sorry?
Come up.
This part of the presentation?
No, I just wanted to reply to your counselor that brought up about the secondhand equipment. I'm president of the Legion. And I've been dealing with Bruce Parks, your fire inspector, and he's been helping us out as much as possible. Like, he was responsible for the inspection and stuff that caused these problems, which is not his fault. But he's been helping us out as much as possible access the secondhand system. He hasn't just been saying, sorry, you're tough out of luck. So I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that we're coming forward looking for money, but he's already trying to help as much as possible.
Okay.
So I'd like to thank him for what he has done.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, the other thing, that the fire pond that is on our land, if we close, the community will potentially no longer have access to that either, because there's a good chunk of land there that's in the middle of. And, you know, if the building goes, God knows what happens. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for the presentation. I think that everyone around the table knows what an asset it is to the community and has attended events there and enjoyed our time there. Now, just to let you know, we don't make decisions during presentations.
Aware of that. I've been down this road before.
Absolutely.
With other municipal councils.
Okay.
That's what I said. I understand the timeline.
Wonderful.
This is not a we need it tomorrow. We're making arrangements that we can with Sizzle Stick to try and keep them hanging on. As long as we can, but I mean we're realistic in the timeline situation.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. We are going to move on to 10.3.1. Administration Department funding for food banks and homeless shelters, and Alex is going to take the lead on this, our Deputy CAO.
Good morning, committee members. Thank you for your time this morning. Just a quick staff report on this issue. By way of background, Feed Nova Scotia reports that 22% of households in Nova Scotia are experiencing some form of food insecurity. That's about a 5% increase in food bank usage since the beginning of the pandemic. As you're probably aware, staff regularly do food drives to try and support our local food banks, and MODL has supported food banks. Sorry, what's that?
It's not coming up. You're not coming up.
Try this.
There we go. Ah. That was awesome. Sorry, Alex.
It's okay. There. That's much worse. MODL has supported food banks in the past. The most recent contribution from the municipal budget was in March of 2020, where council provided $10,000 to the four food banks that serve MODL residents. That would be the food bank in New Germany within our own municipality, as well as the towns of Lunenburg, Mahone Bay, and Bridgewater's food banks. So recently, the Wellness Committee in MODL asked that council consider a fundraising drive and providing matching contributions to those. Because of the size of our staff, which is not large, they suggested choosing a single food bank with matching funds for those contributions. However, that would mean that the other three food banks wouldn't receive contributions. So I've made a slight adjustment to that request. Also, what's changed since the last time council has supported food banks is that the homeless population has certainly become more visible and likely has grown since the last time that council considered funding. In response to that, there is now an overnight shelter in the town of Bridgewater serving the homeless population, and Souls Harbor has opened a daytime service for folks that don't have elsewhere to go to keep warm during the winter. So there's base funding provided from the Department of Community Services for the overnight shelter. However, it only covers base costs, and they're finding that there are actually a number of incidentals that aren't covered, and that they certainly didn't expect, given that this is their first year operating. So they are engaged in a series of fundraising drives and are certainly seeking other avenues for support. And you can expect a presentation from them in the new year on the services that they are providing. So coming to the recommendation, staff are recommending a contribution similar to the amount made in 2020 from your council contingency fund of $10,000. So $4,000 of that would go towards a matching drive for the food banks, and then an additional $3,000 each to the centers that are providing support for the homeless population. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you very much, Mayor Bellever-Getson.
I guess I would like to speak in favor of this. I think that this is something that we should be doing on an annual basis to support our community. I know we did it during COVID, but it's definitely something that should require our attention. We have several of our residents in need in our communities, and this is a small token of what may be able to put some food on the table for individuals over the holiday season, but again, throughout the year. I think that this need is very evident throughout. It doesn't matter what community you're driving through, you know that it's there. So I definitely support this. Hats off to the Lutheran Church for opening up the overnight accommodation center. And Souls Harbor provides meals, and they've extended their hours to really meet needs in our community as well. So, again, I definitely will be supporting this motion.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions? I do have just a quick question. Matching funds up to $4,000. What if they don't raise $4,000? Can we still give our $4,000?
Thank you for asking for that clarification. So the intention is for the staff, their fundraising goal is $1,000.
Okay.
And the matching would then go to each of the food banks.
Thank you.
To get you to $10,000.
Perfect.
Just
thank you for that.
For a reference point, we're looking at about plus or minus 60 staff, and then if council's willing to participate as well, so you're 70 people. Not a realistic goal to raise $4,000.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And Mayor Bellever-Getson.
Well, I guess I would just like to say that I hope the motion reflects that council is willing to give that $1,000 per food bank and
yes.
The other, just so that
yeah, so it's
the
to
matching,
a maximum
if you
of
were only to raise $500, that council would still be willing to put the $1,000 in per.
Don't tell staff that.
Okay, thank you. And Councillor Vino?
My question was kind of answered with Mayor Bellever-Getson's, because staff sometimes bring in not necessarily monetary donations, but also food donations as well. So glad to hear that we'll still be giving that $1,000, and glad to see us support all these organizations.
Just if I could respond to that.
Go ahead.
The Wellness Committee has been very active. They've done some excellent work, and they've taken on the food drives for us, which is great. And they were looking at doing a change this year. So they have a little campaign planned, and they're responding to requests from the food banks. They're looking for cash donations. So rather than bringing in unused pantry items, they're looking for cash donations. You'll see some communication for it if this gets approved.
Okay, thank you. I would ask Councillor DeLong if she would be willing to make that motion.
Certainly. Thank you very much. To the Chair and members of the Finance Committee, I move that the Finance Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council approve matching funds for the Wellness Committee food drive up to a maximum of $1,000 per each of the four food banks, and further, that Council approve funding in the amount of $3,000 for Souls Harbor Warming Center and $3,000 for the overnight shelter operated by the South Shore Open Doors Association, with the funds coming from the Council-approved contingency fund. I so move.
And do we have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Hubley. Any further discussion? All those in favor? And that motion is passed. Thank you very much. Okay, we will move down to item 11.1 under Councillors' Matters, the bathroom building at Lake Mushmush, and this was brought forward by Councillor Statton.
Thank you. As you all know, I've been, I should choose my words carefully, I guess nagging is the word, to try to improve facilities in not just Mush, but most of our parks. And I understand we might have a report coming forward on some standards. And I don't know if those standards are accessibility or standards for what we put in our parks. But over the 3 years since I've been here, the bathrooms at Lake Mush are deplorable. We took out wooden buildings. We put in porta potties. They're not being cleaned properly. They go days and weeks without having any kind of cleanliness in them. I'm trying not to be too critical here, but I would like to have us direct staff to provide a building at Lake Mush with at least two washrooms in it and a changing area. We were given an estimate of maybe $250,000. I think that was way high, and I'd like to see it be a little more realistic as to what we're asking for back there. It doesn't have to be fancy. It needs to have at least two washrooms, and it should have a changing area because there's hundreds of people at that park during the summer on any given day, and that's just too many people to be in that place without proper hand washing and bathroom facilities. And I know some of our other parks are probably facing the same issues. So with that in mind, I would like to see us send this to budget to have a realistic estimate come back and for staff to consider maybe some pre-constructed building to put back there. It certainly needs a septic system, and I think the water can come from the lake since there's lots of people back there using water from the lake for their homes. So that's an option. You don't need a well. So with that in mind, that's about all I have to say, and I'll answer some questions if you have any.
Okay, thank you. Does any council member have any questions? Deputy Mayor Oigle.
It's not necessarily for Councillor Statton, but regarding bathrooms at a beach, I'm just wondering, are we able to ask staff regarding what is the one that is at in Hurdles Beach? Because that is a building there, and there's a bathroom, and is there not as well there? Like, what kind of a facility is that?
Okay, we've got our Director of Recreation and our Director of Engineering coming forward. And we have Maria Butts, project manager, Maria Butts joining us as well.
Sure.
Everyone, come on up.
So to answer Councillor Oikel's question, it's a
it's a vault toilet at Hurdles. I believe it's the same as what's at Mush. The only difference is that the wooden structure was removed at Mush, and a vinyl porta potty system was put over the vault. So that's what we currently have at Hurdles. The only other thing I would comment on is that we are finalizing the park surveys from the summer, planning on bringing that to council at some point in time. And we did get a report, a draft report from the park accessibility audit. Just arrived, and we will be doing a workshop with the consultant, staff and the consultants to go through that thoroughly, give direction. So we haven't finalized exactly what our recommendations would be moving forward concerning the park standards and the accessibility. But that would certainly be part, it's our intent to be part of the budget process. I apologize that it's been so long with the park audits. It isn't because, I'll steal a word from Councillor Statton, it isn't because I haven't been nagging the consultant for the report. And so, because I've been putting the pressure to say we're coming into capital budget, we need to know, and we're looking towards them to give recommendations as to what they would look at recommending that we proceed forward with for, you know, in line with the capital budget that council approves. I don't know if you have anything else to add, Stephen.
So in the park audits, there's five parks that were identified that were assessed as part of that process. It was Hurdles Beach, Mush, Miller Point, River Ridge Common, and Indian Falls. And so that we've just got the, and they have recommended upgrades and cost estimates attached to each one of those. And then there's another series of the part of the Recreate projects that's created other projects outside of the accessibility component. So by going through the budget process, we'll be listing all those projects and cost estimates, and then council will have the opportunity to kind of debate which one is a priority and which one to go forward with and the timing of each one.
Okay. Mayor Bellever-Getson?
I guess that's pouting councillor against councillor is what that actually does with this here. I guess, Trudy, you said some point in time. I would hope that some point in time that this is coming forward is going to be in time for the budget of this year.
Yes, that's the intent.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a workshop scheduled for Monday with the consultant to flush through.
And I guess as I look at the list of parks, and I know that we prioritized our parks into categories or into what level of service I believe is the standard for each one. And when I look at Mush and Mush Beach and I look at the daily usage, I don't think we have another park that even comes close to the hundreds of people that are there on a daily basis. So I'm hoping that somehow when these are prioritized that we're taking the amount of usage into consideration as well.
That should come up through budget deliberations as well. Like, as we go through each project, each one will be assessed, and councils have the opportunity to ask questions about each one, and that'll be one of the parameters that we would take into consideration.
Okay, Councillor Statton.
Yeah, I was just trying to alert staff or give you a heads up that this is what I've been asking for 3 years, and I haven't given up, and I don't intend to. And I know staff have done a lot of work up there. I appreciate that. But it still needs a little better facilities than we are providing.
Okay. I am just going to weigh in with our Deputy CAO, Alex Demerick, and then I'll move over to Councillor Vino.
I just wanted to thank the mayor for her comments. That the intention is to avoid the situation where council members just have to pit one another's priorities against each other. So what your engineering staff and your recreation staff have done is they've gone out in a rather extensive project to survey park users and get information from those park users about how many folks are there and what kind of services are they looking for, what kind of experience have they had while they're in those facilities. And then married with that is the data on This is where, from accessibility perspective, some upgrades are needed. And based on the standards, based on the classifications of the parks, these are the type of upgrades that we see as necessary. So there will still be some jockeying in terms of which the order when things have to go, but our intention is to make these upgrades across all of our parks so that we can see that consistent level of service that's welcoming and accessible and provides the services our residents expect across the parks based on the classification the council's already approved.
Okay, and just our Director of Recreation.
And the only other piece that I will add is that we have had our insurer come and take a look at some of our parks, and there's been some things, and I believe we've been quite conscious of sending you emails about those, that some things need to be removed or replaced, and that's coming from a safety and insurance perspective. So we're trying to bring the park standards, the park accessibility audits, the park surveys, and that insurance piece all into one big package so that during the budget deliberations you can give us directions as to what is the priority and where you want to spend your money in each year.
Okay. Councillor Vino.
Thank you. I just wanted to add that I spent a lot of time at this facility with my family in the summer, and I definitely see that due to the lack of the appropriate facilities, people are resorting to going in the woods and in the water for many different things. You see parents say it to their, just go there, or just go here. So it's definitely something that needs to be addressed, and I will support it.
Okay, so I think I would ask Councillor Statton to put that motion on the floor.
Thank you. I can do that. To the chair and members of the Finance Committee, I move that the Finance Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council approve the inclusion of Mushmush Beach Park washroom building in the 2024-25 capital budget deliberations and direct staff to prepare cost estimates for the project. I'd like to also add that we keep in mind that we get an estimate that's 2 to 4, that doesn't come back with 50% increase later.
Okay, do we have a seconder? Councillor Vino. Any further discussion on the motion? Deputy Mayor Oigle.
Thank you. I'm just wanting to make sure I understand the wording and what this will mean. Does this mean that we will, that we've already are now accepting the fact that we will be putting washrooms in at Mushmush, or is it that we're going to be considering it along with everything else that we'll be doing? I'm just wanting to clarify what this motion is actually saying.
Okay, and Deputy CIO Alex Demerick.
Staff would suggest that you don't want to make that decision without the actual budget available. So the motion is designed to include this particular item in the capital budget deliberations and ensure that there is a cost estimate available for it.
Councillor Bell.
Thank you. I didn't hear or understand the added statement to "I'd like to add." Could you please repeat that?
Go ahead.
Sure. As we all know, our budgets are coming in, not necessarily our budgets, but when we price something, the cost is coming in, and usually it's over and above what the estimate is. So I'm just asking that the estimate be as close to the actual cost as it possibly can be.
That answers your question?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I just didn't
hear it. And Mayor Bolivar-Getson.
And again, my understanding of the motion is that this will be included in the budget, and if we pass the budget with this in it, then it's up to council to decide what stays in the budget and what comes out of the budget, but it will be in the budget when it comes forward. Is that correct? That's what this motion will do.
Okay. Okay, are there any further questions or comments? Questions called for? All those in favor? And that is passed unanimously. Okay, there are no added items and no in-camera items, so I would ask for a motion to adjourn from Councillor Wynot. Do we have a seconder? And thank you. Seconded by Councillor Moore. All those in favor? Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.
We'll take a 10-minute
break and then for a special council meeting. Okay.